Let's get our Bibles out tonight, and let's go to the book of 2 Kings chapter 4, verses 1 through 7. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 through 7. And I want to read this miraculous story as tonight we finish up our teaching on 1,000 hills. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Come on, say, our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Come on, say it with me. Our God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. And so what we've been looking at is what God says about finances and stewardship. And I tell you, there's a couple of messages in this series that has been some of the best teaching I think I've ever done that God's ever given me. And so tonight we're going to finish up by teaching you the 7 laws of increase, or one title might be the 7 laws of money. I want to talk to you about how money works and the laws that govern money. And you're going to be shocked by some of these, and some of these will be common sense to you, but we need to look at them nonetheless. All right, 2 Kings chapter 4. A certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets cried out to Elisha, saying, "Your servant, my husband, is dead, and you know that your servant feared the Lord, and the creditor is coming to take my 2 sons and to be his slaves." So Elisha said to her, "What shall I do for you? Tell me, what do you have in your house?" Underline that in your Bible if you can. What do you have in your house? She thought she was at the end of her rope. Listen to me. If you think you're at the end of your rope financially, as long as you got a little rope left, God can move. What's in your house? And she said, "Your maidservant has nothing in the house but a jar of oil." Then he said, "Go, borrow vessels from everywhere, from all your neighbors, empty vessels, do not gather just a few. And when you've come in and you shut the door behind you and your sons, then put it into all those vessels and set aside the full ones." So she went from him. She shut the door behind her and her sons, and who brought the vessels to her. She poured it out. Now it came to pass when the vessels were full that she said to her son, "Bring me another vessel." And he said to her, "There's not another vessel." So the oil ceased. Then she came and told the man of God, and he said, "Go sell the oil, pay your debt, you and your sons live on the rest." There's a couple important things that I want to point out here, but really if I could just grab one thought from this passage of scripture that's going to guide what we're going to talk about tonight. It's this one thought, and I want you to write this down. Everything that you need to create wealth is already in your hands. When I talk to people and I say, "Hey," they say, "I want to do better, Pastor. I want God to bless me, but I just don't have the ability to have the blessing of God. I don't have the talent, or I don't have the education, or I don't have the right job, or I don't have the right connections, or I don't have the right background." Listen to me, child of God. Everything that you need to increase in your life, spiritually, physically, financially, emotionally, everything you need is already in your possession. The one thing that strikes me out of this story is this woman thought she was in a hopeless situation and did not know that everything she needed for her next miracle was right there in her own cupboard. You're never too far gone. Whatever you have in your house, the key to the next miracle of this church is already in this building. It's already here. The key to the next miracle of your life is already in your house. Now, it might only be a little bit, but how many know a little bit is much when God's in it, right? All I've got to do is figure out what to do with the little bit. So the number one thing I want you to keep in mind as I teach you tonight is I want you to keep in mind that everything you need for wealth is already in your hands. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 makes this statement. God, or 2 Corinthians 9 makes a statement, God gives seed to the sower. Say that with me. God gives seed to the sower. So watch now. This woman had the miracle in her house, but she was going to have to sow it in order for that miracle to work for her. It was not doing her any good in the cupboard. Right? She saw it as insignificant. But actually what was insignificant was a seed to produce the miracle for her life. God does not give seed to people who are not generous, who are not givers. Now, again, I've already taken up the offering. We're not taking up another offering tonight. I'm not teaching this to take up an offering. I'm teaching this to help you get blessed. And you've got to understand that the miracle is in your house in a seed form. And in a moment, we're going to talk about the power of a seed. In seed form, that seed has got to be sown somehow. So whatever you need financially, God's already put enough in your hand. You just got to figure out what it is that you need to sow to produce the miracle. I want to remind you what the word says. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. Remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the power to get wealth. The New Living Translation says it is he that gives you the power to become successful. One translation, the Amplified Version, says it is he who gives you the power to become rich. Now, I taught you the last time we met together, the word power there is the Hebrew word for force. So it is a force, the Bible says, to get wealth. The word wealth there is a word that is thick with meaning, super thick with meaning. Actually, the word wealth there, the root word of that word in Hebrew literally means a tornado. So God wants to release a force of wealth like a tornado on your life is what this scripture is saying in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse number 18. Now remember the people that he's saying this to. They're slaves who have come out of Egypt. They have nothing other than what they took out of Egypt with them. They don't have any houses yet. They don't have any land yet. They don't have any commercial buildings yet. They don't have anything. But God says, don't worry about it. What you have is enough to produce a harvest in your life. For I have given you the anointing to get wealth. God has released a force like a tornado of wealth over our life. Now that word wealth also, in its larger context, also implies strategies and ideas and plans. So check this out, guys. The Bible says God has given you the power to get wealth. But listen, this force, like a tornado that's going to be released on your life, is going to come in the form of a strategy, an idea, a plan. If y'all have not done it yet, you need to go. Is your song on iTunes yet? Friday night, what's the name of it? One More Song. You need to check out Friday night. It's going to hit. God gave him this song. And several weeks ago, we were eating lunch together. And Keith said, you got to hear this song. I went out to the car and sat down. This song is going to go high on. I'm prophesying this. It's going high on the charts. I promise you, this song is going to really touch a lot of people. It's going to go high on the chart. And it's going to impact the secular world. And God gave him the song. Listen, you don't need much. All you need is an idea. All you need is a strategy. All you've got to have is a plan from God. And that can do whatever you need to do to cause increase to come into your life. So remember the Lord your God, for it is he that's given you the force like a tornado to get wealth in the form of strategies, ideas, and plans. Again, I'm trying to, before I get into these seven laws, I'm trying to build into your mindset that everything you need is already in you. It's already on the inside of you. Can you say amen to that? All right, let's keep going here. Genesis chapter 26, verse number 1 and verse 12 talks about Isaac, the Bible says, prospering in a time of famine, prospering. Now, right now, all over the world, everybody's talking about economic troubles that are coming. And I don't think you have to be an economist to know that things are going to happen, right? Things are going to get bad financially, or have the potential to get bad financially. And so here's what most Christian people do, or a lot of people, they'll just, if that happens, they stop giving. They start looking at the clouds. They start looking at the weather. And they determine what they're going to do based on what's going on around them in the economy. But the Bible says that Isaac didn't live like that. The Bible says, listen, Isaac sowed in a time of famine and reaped a hundredfold. So let me just tell you, child of God, I don't care what's getting ready to happen in the economies of this world. Somebody asked me when we bought this land, they said, aren't you worried about everything going on in the earth? I said, no, I'm not at all, because my God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Economies, listen, there's always going to be an economy, even in the new heaven and the new earth. The Bible says the kings of the earth are going to be bringing their honor, their money, to Jerusalem to honor Jesus. There's always going to be economic systems going on in the earth. Nothing is going to stop. And let me just tell you, child of God, listen, a lot of people get extremely wealthy in economic hardship or during economic times, bad times. The wealthy know what to do. They have strategies and ideas and plans, and they know how to use the system to get their gain. This is the reason Jesus said we need to learn from the sons of this world when it comes to finances, because they're wiser than we are. So I'm just telling you tonight, don't allow the economies of the world to determine whether you think you're going to be blessed or not, whether you think you're going to be successful or not. I'm telling you, you're the head and not the tail. You're above only, not beneath, and you're blessed going in, blessed going out. Come on, somebody. Listen, this world can be falling apart, and God's going to bless us because we're His children. If God owns the cattle on 1,000 hills and I'm the heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ, that means all those cows have got to be mine too, right? So no matter what goes on, I'm going to have the blessing of the Lord resting on my life. Somebody say yes and amen to that, right? Now, there's two keys that I want to give you that nobody ever talks about in Genesis chapter 26. Two keys to prospering in hard times. Two keys to prospering in hard times. Number one, the first key to prospering in hard time is sowing. Learn the gift of generosity. The gift of giving. Generosity opens the windows of heaven. It positions you for financial increase. Right? In a time of famine, your mind says, we got to hold on. We got to can everything, set on the can. Right? The scripture says in Proverbs, there are those who have the mindset. They're going to get everything and they're going to set on it. And they're not going to do anything with it. And the Bible says they go into poverty. But then there are those who have the mindset, I'm going to be a giver. I'm going to look for opportunities. And God blesses those kind of people. Right? So don't let famine determine your sowing. Number two, the second key is the Bible says that Isaac dug wells in a time of famine. Everybody say dug wells. Yes. Right? I almost wanted to name my message tonight, Can You Dig It? Right? Look at me. Sowing is good, but you gotta dig some wells. When hard times come, there's wealth to be found, but it might not necessarily be just sitting on the surface, because if it was easy, everybody'd be getting it. So some wells have to be dug. Sometimes you have to dig deep to find the blessing that God wants to give to your life. Now, here's what a lot of Christians do. They'll give, but they won't dig. And some will dig and they won't give. You've got to put the two together to prosper. Now, there's 7 laws that govern money. 7 laws. And we're going to go through them real fast tonight. So you're going to want to write these down. Number one, here's the first law that governs your money. The law of necessity. The law of necessity. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse number 19. Money answers all things. Say that out loud with me, please. Money answers all things. Say it again. Money answers. Say it louder.
Money.
Now, do you know why I just had you do that? Because when we first said, money answers all things. Why are we as Christians ashamed to say we need money? Have you ever noticed that about Christians? They're ashamed of this concept of needing money. The first law of your money is the law of necessity. You need it. Money's essential. Don't think it's essential? Go down to the hospital, try to get tended to without any insurance, without any cash. See how far along you get. You don't think money's essential? Go try to steal a bag of Pampers from Walmart and get out the door with it. See how it works out for you. You don't think it's essential? Go order you a Big Mac meal, a number one. Can I just parenthetically insert something here? McDonald's has been around since the beginning of time. Why is it when you go to McDonald's, you stand there for 15 minutes in front of me looking at the menu? It is the same menu. They have not changed the menu ever. Just pick a number. Move on. Get out of my way. Right? But go order a number one at McDonald's and tell them you don't have any money and see if you get your meal. Folks, money's essential. Just accept it. Own it. It's the law of necessity. God created it that way. You realize God could have done this any other way, but God created that money would be essential. The problem is most Christians think money is evil. Money's evil. Money's evil. I've heard Christians say money's evil. No, money's not evil. The Bible says the love of money is the root to all evil. The love of money. Money's not evil. Money's good. The love of money is the root to all evil, right? Nobody tonight is reaching in their pocket, and when they're reaching in the pocket, the $100 bill is biting them. Money's not evil, right? It's the love of money. It's the abuse of money that is the root of all evil. So quit looking at money as an evil thing. You've got to look at money as a God thing. And you got to settle this law in your mind that I need this and God wants me to have it. Right? It's the law of necessity. Here's the second law of money is the law of value. So money's not only necessary, but every single piece of money is given a certain denomination. And with that denomination comes a certain buying power. Right? I like Harley Davidson's. Richard Smith, my friend's back there tonight. He likes Harley Davidson. He'll tell you $10 will not buy you jack at the Harley shop. They call it HD on purpose. $100, they should call it THD because now it's $1,000. Everything is $1,000. I want you to look at this statement. Every piece of money is given a certain denomination, and with that denomination comes a certain buying power. Anybody in here got a $1 bill? $1 bill. You got a $1 bill, Mr. Bill? Mr. Bill's got a $1 bill. Give me that $1 bill. Give me that $1 bill. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. A $1 bill. $1. Anybody got a 100? Somebody, you got a 100, Pastor Steve? Huh. We cutting his pay. So you shouldn't have said that, Pastor Steve. They won't give as much to your next mission project. Oh, he's got a 100. He's got a, you printed that off of a machine. No. Oh, that was your money. You were hiding that back away from her. Well, I can promise you, if I know Miss Catherine, she's got a few stuck back herself, okay? Look here. This $1 bill will not buy what this $100 bill will buy. Every denomination has a value to it. Now, I want you to listen to me. Did you know, as of this morning, for every $1 bill in circulation, this is as of this morning, there are 8 $100 bills in circulation. Which means, ladies and gentlemen, there are more $100 bills floating around in the economy than there are $1 bills. But your mindset is you value a $1 bill more than you do a $100 bill. And the proof is if there's more available and you have less of these and more of these, what you value is what's in your pocket. It's the law of value. Everybody say, I need money.
I need money.
Right? It's the law of value. This $1 bill, more. Do you have any $100 bills in your pocket? You don't have any $100 bill. Give me your wallet, Mr. Bill. Give me your wallet, Mr. Bill. Lord have mercy. Amen. So, my, there's not a $100 bill in here anyway. I don't never try to get any money from you. Mr. Bill, why is it? Why is it? Now, this is any time I've ever taught this is the way it is. Why is it that you have more of these than you have more of these? There's more of these in the economy. Look at me. There's more of these in the... I'm going to tell you when the Lord taught me this. All right, Mr. Bill, I'm going to give you your $1 back. You thought I was going to give you that $100. I know you'd rather have that. But tonight, you're a $1 man. You're a $1 man. I'm going to tell you how the Lord taught me this. He taught me this in Smithville, Tennessee. Pam and I, our first church was in Smithville, Tennessee. We graduated Bible college, and the district superintendent of the Assemblies of God, Gene Jackson, called me and said, "Hey, Shane, I've got a church in Smithville, and nobody will go there and preach." He said, "They're struggling." He said, "Would you go preach?" Now, I was all of 21 years old, and I was looking for a place to preach, an opportunity to preach. So I said, "Sure." I go to that church. This little girl was a teenager at that time sitting in that church. And Mr. Jim King, he came later, a little later on in it, not too much. No, he was there pretty much from the beginning. He was a pharmacist over in Smithville. And I preached that Sunday morning, and there was 11 people there. 11 people in the audience. I get through preaching, and a man walks up and says, "Well, I think we found our next pastor. I think we all take a vote. Everybody in favor, say aye." All 11 people. Aye. "Well, congratulations, Pastor Shane. You're our next pastor." I've often wondered who to feel sorry for the most. Did I feel sorry for me, a 21-year-old, becoming a pastor? Or did I feel sorry for those 11 people for electing 21-year-old to be their pastor? Now, I'm not lying about this. They had been through 11 pastors in 9 years. 11 pastors in 9 years. And it wasn't long the board determined I was going to be number 12. Right? It was just one of those kind of places. Pam and I had no money. None. I was driving an old beat up Chevy Blazer that had rust holes in it. Your feet fall out the floor, literally. Trying to do paint jobs. We had no money. And I found a house down in the, what's that holler called? Hippie Holler. Is it Hippie Holler? Dry Creek. Hippie Holler, Dry Creek. Let your mind run there. Just think deliverance. You'll say, yeah, you're getting a picture in your mind. Am I telling the truth? Okay, so. I mean, I was driving home from church one day, and a guy was on the roof naked. I have no idea what he was doing. He was fixing his roof naked. Hippie Holla. Right? We found this little house down there that you had to pipe sunshine into. It was an old mill house. Right? There was no television there. None. We had no money, and Adam was a baby. One morning we get up and Adam is screaming, my son. And I'm frustrated. It's Sunday morning. We're getting ready for church. In those days you wore suit and ties, you know, and I was getting all dressed up. And Pam was frustrated. Adam was crying. We couldn't get him to stop crying. And I said, "What's going on?" She said, "He's hungry." And I said, "Well, feed him." And she said, "We don't have any formula." And I said, "Why don't we have any formula?" She said, "Because we hadn't had any money to buy any." Well, my baby was up there crying, and I had sold out to God, and I'm going to go worship God, right? I'm going to go serve God. I'm going to be a preacher. And we're down here in this house, and I'm listening to my baby cry. I tell Pam, I said, "You stay right here in this house, and don't you come out." Now, there was a creek that ran down beside the house. It was actually a beautiful place. Creek ran down beside that house, and there was a big stump out there. Somebody had cut down a big old tree. And I went out there and I sat on that stump beside that creek and I started talking to God. And I said, "God, I don't understand what you're doing. I've given my whole life to you. I've sold out everything to you. And I have no money at all. We're broke. And that baby's up there crying. And you can hear him crying. And my wife says she don't even have money to buy a formula." And I said, "This is not right. I'm a child of God." And your word says that you own the cattle on a thousand hills, and you can't even give me enough money to buy formula for that baby up there. Now, I'm not encouraging you to talk to God like this. I'm just telling you how it happened with me. I got so angry in the moment, and I'm telling you, don't do this. Thank God for mercy. I got so angry at the moment, I took my Bible, and I threw it down on the ground, and I kicked it out the end of the driveway. And I said, God, I've stood on that book forever, and I'm not going another day and preaching that you're a God who heals and you don't heal, and you're a God who supplies and you don't provide, and that kid's up there crying. I'm not going another day and telling them about a good God that you are when you can't even give me milk for that baby up there. I'm not doing it anymore. And I said, let me tell you how it's going to work. If you don't do something for that child up there, when I leave church this morning, you better have a pastor for Sunday night. I'll never preach the gospel again. I'm telling you the truth. I'm ashamed of it, but I'm telling you the truth. I know y'all don't ever get mad at God. It's okay. I know you've never been frustrated at God. It's all right. I know your halo's perfect on your head. Mine's not. Mine hangs off a lot, right? I picked up my Bible, dusted it off. I go up there and get Pam. And somehow or another, we had scraped together just a few dollars to get enough formula. I'm frustrated. I go to church. I preach my guts out. I preach about how good God is and all that. I mean, I was preaching by faith. Just preaching by faith. We get through, and was it a Piggly Wiggly that was right beside it? A Piggly Wiggly was right beside this little church. We get through, and I told Pam, I said, let's go over Piggly Wiggly and let's get that baby some formula. Pull into the parking lot, and I'm going into Piggly Wiggly, and a person comes up to me and says, a man comes up to me and says, excuse me, sir. He said, are you a preacher? I said, well, yes, sir, I'm a preacher. He said, well, you know, just the strangest thing, you're probably going to think this is weird. He said, but this morning, he said, I was on my back porch and I was having coffee and I was talking to the Lord, and the Lord told me to come to Piggly Wiggly at this time that there'd be a preacher in this parking lot who needs money for his family. I'm telling you the truth. I said, sir, what time was that? He told me the time. It was the same time I was out there by that stump. And I started crying. I said, Lord, why are you giving me this money? And he said, because I told you, declare ye me the works of my hands. And he said, today you thought you were speaking out of frustration. He said, but actually it was an act of faith that you were standing on the word of God. He said, you declared ye me the work of my hands. And that man reached out and he said, here, he said, God told me to give you this. And he had it folded up like this right here and he put it in my hands. He turned and walked off. Well, it was $100 bill. Now, I know $100 bill is nothing to y'all. But in 1992, when you're broke, busted, and disgusted, I got that $100 bill and I was walking around Piggly Wiggly like that. Pam and I rejoicing. Now, back then, $100 would buy, I'm talking about it would fill up a buggy high. Y'all remember going to the grocery store and filling up buggies like that? I mean, almost two buggies. We filled up that buggy, and we were coming. We were just walking. We were both celebrating God. Look what God did. Look, we got macaroni and cheese. Look at that. We got some hamburger. Look at that. You know, we're bragging on God, and we're putting stuff in the back of the car, and another person walks up to me. Said, excuse me, sir. Said, are you a preacher? I said, I sure am. I am a preaching machine. I'm a preacher. They said, well, you know, this morning on my way to church, the Lord spoke to me and told me I was supposed to come to this parking lot and that I was supposed to give a preacher some money and help him. Now, we had just spent all $100 on groceries. They reached out their hand. They said, well, here, God bless you. They turned and walked away. And when they turned around, it was another $100 bill. Now, I'll take any $100 bills, but Pam and I aren't suffering now. We're blessed. We're not suffering now. But do you know if I'm ever going through a hard time and I'm just struggling and I feel like I'm at the end of my rope with something, it don't even have to be money, and I need a faith boost, you know what God does? He sends somebody, and they'll say, hey, God told me to give you this, and they'll put a $100 bill in my hand. Most of the time, I give the $100 bill away. I'm telling the truth. My wife will tell you. Most of the time, I give the $100 bill away. Because it has nothing to do with me needing money now. What it is God is reminding me, I had you then, and I've got you right now, and you don't have to worry. I'm your provider. I'm your Jehovah Jireh, and you don't even have to think about it, right? Here's another $100 bill. So I went home and started studying, and that's when I found out that there's more $100 bills in circulation than there were $1 bills. So that next morning, I was out there at the stump, and I was praising God. Thank you for that $100 bill anointing you gave me. Thank you. Come on, y'all act like y'all need some $100 bill anointings, right? Thank you for that $100 bill anointing. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, it's easier for me to get a $100 bill in your hand than it is a $1 bill. He said, but your mindset is set on a $1 bill. Change the way you think. And when I started changing the way I think about a $100 bill versus a $1 bill, what I valued came into my life. It's the law of attraction. What you value comes towards your life. Now, in that church, I would lay in front of the pulpit every day and pray. And I can distinctly remember believing God. God, if you'll just bless us with $300 a week as a church, we can make it. I was working three jobs. I was working at McDonald's, Regal Marine Boat Factory, and then I can't remember what the name of the restaurant was. Sundance restaurant, bussing tables. 2 bachelor degrees. You say, what were you doing? I was sowing and digging wells. I knew God was going to bless me. I just had to find where the blessing was coming from. I hope this is all right. I plan on preaching. I'd lay in that floor and I would pray for $300 a week. God, if you just give the church $300 a week, we'd be blessed. That church had never paid its own bills. The district paid all its light bills, paid all its water bills, paid its mortgage payment. I'm laying in the floor one day, and all of a sudden, knock on the door. Come. I jump up, run to the glass door, and there's a man out there in a nice suit. I open the door, introduce myself. He said, hi, I'm the banker. He introduces himself and tells me his name. He said, I'm the banker. This is where the church has the mortgage. Gave me a piece of paper, said, you need to know, less than 30 days, we're going to foreclose on this place, and we're going to put a padlock on the door, and we're going to sell the property. We're not going to wait any longer for the money. I said, I'm a brand new pastor. I got 11 people. How much is the mortgage? It was $38,000, something like that. Well, it wasn't a lot, but how many know that's a mountain when you don't have any money? Here I am laying in the floor. God, if you'll just give me $300. Well, can I tell you something? That $300 went to $500. And by the way, God supplied miraculously within 30 days and we paid off that note. We never, when I pastored there, and I'm sure they still this way, we never took another dime from the district office. Nobody else paid our bills. We paid our own bills and we gave to missions and did what we were supposed to do for our community. Never. From that day to this day, I've never took any money from any organization to plant a church. If God can't do it, I don't want to be a part of it. Right? If God can't do it, I don't want to be a part of it. And so I'm laying on the floor. Well, that was in 1991 or 92, praying like that for $300. Before I left to come here, our budget every year was $7 million. We had to have $3 million just for television. Do you know how I raised all that money? I take up offerings just like I do here. Hey, guys, we're going to get, this is what your giving did. God bless you. I take it up just like, you know how I raise that money? I go to my prayer closet. And I say, God, you own the cattle on 1,000 hills, and this is how much money it's going to take to do the miracle today. You can bring it in. Angels, go get those resources and bring them, put them into my hands in the name of Jesus. I break the back of lack and off of this place, and the money would just come in. Because, listen, money is not a problem to God. Look at me. Now I don't think in $100 bills, even though God still gives me $100. I don't think in $100 bills. I'm going to tell you the truth. I don't think in $100 bills. Because I've got enough faith in God now. I think in millions now. My mindset is in the millions now. Now, some of y'all are saying, well, I can never think like that. Well, just start somewhere to believe God to release the tornado of wealth on your life to increase you. God wants you blessed. But at some point, you got to value, right? So look at me. Get what I'm trying to teach you. If you value $1 bills, that's what's coming into your life. If you value $20 bills, Mr. Bill, he's got more than that, I know. That's what's coming into your life. If you value $100 bills, that's what's coming into your life. What you value comes toward you. I could quit right now, and if you got that, it'll change your life. Let me give you the third law. The third law is the law of power. You got to realize that money has power. Have you ever noticed that nobody is suing homeless people? Y'all ever notice that? Nobody runs around suing homeless people. Do you know why? Because money has power, right? Now, they're going to put this statement up on the screen for you. Here's what I want you to realize. With power comes responsibility. And just as you won't give a shotgun to your child, God will not give the awesome power of money to an infant in the spirit. Y'all better look at that. Let that get in your heart right there. With power comes responsibility. God will not give money to somebody who's an infant in spirit, because money has power. Everybody see it? So money is a barometer of your maturity. If you're an infant in spirit, you get money, that power will destroy you. The love of money is the root of all evil. That power will destroy you. Right? God gives money to people that he can trust with it. So God knows that if somebody comes up to me and says, here, Pastor, this is for missions, for Steve's mission, even though I've got a bill over here, I can't touch it because it don't belong to me. It belongs to Steve or whatever it was given toward. I can't touch that. God won't honor you if you're immature when it comes to handling your money. Look at me. God won't bless you when you're late on your bills all the time. When your landlord has to call you to get his rent, God won't bless you. I thought I was in a is this a Pentecostal church? I just thought I was in a spirit-filled church where they say.
You're talking about
penis. Oh, yeah. I just. You get what I'm laying down tonight? Responsibility. Don't be late on your car payment. If you owe somebody something, pay them. Fulfill your commitments. Because God will not open the windows of heaven to somebody with an infant spirit. And somebody who won't take care of their responsibility is still a child. Good preaching, Pastor Shane. Preach on. All right. Let me give you the fourth law. The law of source versus supply. Source versus supply. You got to know who your source is and you got to know who your supply is. Put this up on the screen. Your job is your supply. But God, your source. Make sure you don't put too much faith in your supply. Put all your faith in your source. Be faithful. Do what you're supposed to do to what your supply is. But your blessing comes from the Lord. So if your supply dries up tomorrow, God ain't going to dry up. He's still your source. Your job might provide you with enough, but your God will provide you with more than enough. I'm going to say it again. Your job might provide you with enough, but your God will provide you with more than enough. Now, let me just parenthetically insert this, and I'm going to move on because I know everybody in here don't have this problem. But for those that are watching me online, God don't bless lazy folks. I'm going to tell you what God says about lazy people. You don't work, you don't eat. Right? God's not into blessing lazy folks. My pastor used to have a rule. And this was his rule. If you didn't have a job, if you weren't clean, and you didn't take care of your family, he wasn't going to help you. He didn't care if you starved to death. And I used to think he was so hard to believe like that. But now we've got a generation that thinks money ought to just grow on trees and you ought not have to work for it. Listen, how do you prosper in a time of famine? You sow and you dig those wells, right? Let me give you the next law, number five, the law of release. The law of release. Again, I told you early on, God gives seed to who? Who does God give seed to? He doesn't give it to hoarders. He gives it to sowers. I want to show you a principle in the Word of God that Proverbs 11:24 says, it's possible to give away and become richer. It's possible to hold on too tightly and lose everything. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11 tells us that on the third day, God created the seed. Genesis 2:28 tells us that then God planted the seed. Then God watered the seed, and then the seed produced a garden. Notice, God didn't create a garden. He created a seed, and the seed that was planted created the garden. When I told you everything you need is already in your house, I'm telling you folks, he plants the seed and creates it, and the seed creates the garden. Your seed is what creates your garden. And when you turn loose of what's in your hand, God will turn loose of what's in his hand. And that's a principle that Pam and I have proven over and over and over again. We were at a meeting, and I'm almost done, so y'all can relax. We were at a meeting. And I knew why they called us this meeting. They're going to raise money. We didn't have any money. We just moved to West Monroe. We had taken church, and it had been devastated, and we just... Honestly, it was taking everything we had just to get going, right? We didn't have a lot of money. We're givers, but we just didn't have a lot of money. Well, this man gets up, and there's a local television station there called Lamb Broadcasting. And television station reaches North Louisiana, Southern Arkansas, and parts of Mississippi. Liz used to sell airtime. In fact, how I met Liz is she was the sales lady trying to come sell me airtime. We didn't have enough money to buy nothing. We couldn't buy nails, much less airtime. But anyway, I didn't tell her that. We were invited to this meeting. They're raising money for Lamb Broadcasting. This man's up there talking, and he's getting to a giving. They're going to do a giving campaign, and they're asking people to sow. And the Lord speaks to me a number. And I said, I rebuke that devil. I did, because it was something beyond us. So I look at Pam and I said, is God talking to you? And she said, yeah. She said, God's telling me give $1,000. I said, you got to be here. How are we both hearing from the devil at the same time? I wish I was lying about that part. Finally, we overcame. So we somehow or another, did we give it on card? How do we give $1,000? Oh, we had $1,000 in the bank. That's what it was. So we gave $1,000. Years later, I didn't know that $1,000 made us the owners of that station. We bought that television station with a $1,000 seed. I didn't want the television station. But God wanted us to have it. What I didn't know, watch now, I was releasing a seed that was getting ready to plant a garden. So all of that fast church growth that we were having was the result of me being on television 24 hours a day preaching the gospel over and over and over again. And we had everybody from T.D. Jakes to Jensen Franklin, everybody else on there. So all of these connections, like you're going to see Sunday morning, that all came through that television station. That $1,000 seed is blessing you guys in Cookeville, Tennessee. God gives you the seed, but the seed creates the garden. God didn't create the garden. He created the seed. The seed created the garden. All right, I got to move on to the next one. Number six, the law of increase. We've already preached on this. But write this down. What you release, God will increase. What you release, God will increase. Right? What you release, God will increase. It's just a law. And it'll work for you. 2 Corinthians 9:6, he says, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows generously will reap generously or bountifully, right? One translation says, he who sows just enough will get. Who sows more than enough will get more than enough, right? What you release, God will increase. It's just a law. Now again, we're not taking up another offering tonight. And we're blessed. This isn't about that. This is about you having the anointing of increase on your life. All right, let me give you the last law tonight, and then we're going to get up and get out of here. This is the best law concerning money. And that's the reason I saved the best for last. I'm like Jesus. I saved the best for last. Here it is. The law of the anointing. The law of the anointing. Understand the supernatural ability of God on your money. So many Christians discount the supernatural ability of God on their money. I said this in one of the other services, and it went right over 99% of your heads. I'm going to say it again. God is omniscient. Means he knows everything. God is also omnipresent. Everybody say omnipresent. Which means God is everywhere at the same time. One of the names for God is the God who's here. We don't use it much. In the rabbi's mindset, since God is there and God is here and God is everywhere, and since everywhere is in God, then Jehovah Jireh, I'm about to help you now, Jehovah Jireh is not a name, it's a place. I'm going to prove it to you. Whenever his name was used, Jehovah Jireh, with Abraham and Isaac on the mountain, he said, my name is Jehovah Jireh, for in the mountain of the Lord it shall be seen. In this place it shall be seen. Jehovah Jireh is just not who he is. It's a place in him. I'm giving you some heavy stuff right now. It's a place in him. It's a place. And since God is there and God is here and God is everywhere and everywhere is in God, then that means he's God the place. So if you're in God, you're in the place of blessing. Can I press on a little deeper here? Right? Trying to decide if I want to give you a couple nuggets here or not. Some nuggets I like to keep. I like to keep some things to my chest. Gives me pastoral leverage. Everybody say omnipresent. God's omnipresent. He's everywhere at the same time. Listen to me. There's only one thing that makes you omnipresent. That's your money. Because we're sitting in this building tonight, but our money is working right now, feeding people in the Ukraine, in Moldova. We're sitting in this building tonight, but money that you gave last month is helping people right now in Liberia. We're sitting in this room tonight, but money that you gave is also helping people right over here in the Crisis Pregnancy Center. Money makes you mobile. Listen to me. Money makes you mobile. It makes you omnipresent. You can be in multiple places at the same time with your money. Right? It makes you mobile. So watch. If you're the devil and you want to immobilize a Christian, what do you hit them at? Your money. Because if you hit them in their money and they're broke, you immobilize them. Now, I'm going to tell you who taught me this principle. Oral Roberts. Before he died, a couple of us were invited to come. And one of the things he did is he said, Shane, your money makes you mobile. And he said, if the devil wants to stop you, one of the first places he'll attack is your money. Why is that? Because there is an anointing on money. There's a supernatural ability that can get on our money. When you do it God's way, supernatural things happen. Right? In Genesis chapter 28, I close with this. Jacob saw the supernatural results of God getting on his assets. And he wakes up and says, I'm going to be a giver. Now, what made him do that? Because he realized that he needed God involved in his money. Folks, look at me. I want you to hear me tonight. God wants us blessed, but we got to do it his way. We got to start being sensitive. Because we're passing by people every day, and there's needs everywhere, and you can't give to everything. But God will speak to you what to be a part of, what not to be a part of, what ground to do things at. You got to learn to be sensitive to that. And a lot of times it's not necessarily in church. And we're thinking just because we come to church, put something in a bucket that God's... No. Sometimes God's waiting for us in supernatural moments to get engaged in people's lives through our giving, through generosity. And it might be that you don't have any money. You might just have a jar of oil in your house, but a neighbor needs some oil. It could be something that simple. But I'm telling you this, when you obey God, when it comes to your finances, the Spirit of God gets on your money. It breaks the spirit of mammon off your money. The Spirit of God and the law of increase goes to work on your behalf. And the next thing you know, you look up and you're out of this hole that you're in. The next thing you know, you looked up and you're blessed. And God is prospering you. Right? Sis, lift your right hand to the Lord. You want a business? Do you own a business? You want a business? Lift your right hand to the Lord. God's, when I was preaching right here, God just spoke to him. He said, he's going to give you a business. He's going to give you a business. What do you want to do?
I want to start a basketball camp for the boys and girls here.
You want to start a basketball camp for boys and girls? God's going to give you a strategy, an idea, a plan. A force, like a tornado of wealth, is going to come on your life to help you do this. Lift your right hand. I see an older man. He's already connected to you. This older man, God's moving on him to help you. He's already connected to you. He's already connected to you. And like out of nowhere, it's going to come. God's going to do it for you.
Thank you.
You need to start getting everything ready for the launch of it. Start getting it all ready. It's coming towards you. I'm telling you, just sure as I was standing right there, I was preaching, the Lord spoke to me and said, tell her, I'm getting ready to give her a business. You're going to get a business. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, put this money in her hand to do it for your glory. Do it in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. How long have you been working on that?
A couple of months.
couple of months. So this is a new thing. And you've not talked to me about that at all? Not at all. So there's no way for me to know. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. It's getting ready to do it. When this man blesses you, you're going to come tell me about it. Right? You got to come tell me about it. Increase. Did you recently give something that you really couldn't afford to give? Huh?
I can't think off the top of my head right now.
Well, what I'm hearing in the spirit is there was a recent sacrifice you made. And when you did that, it moved heaven on your behalf. And what I'm hearing in the spirit is just like the centurion had built a memorial before God in his giving. There's something that you've done recently that's moved God in this area. You sacrificed. And it got a heaven's attention for you. This is the result of that. So when it comes, you need to connect those dots. This is the result of that. And you need to tell people, just like I told everybody tonight about that television station. You need to tell everybody, this gift made that happen. And when this man blesses you, you need to tell him about the word of the Lord tonight. And you also need to tell him about the gift that you gave. Because God's going to use it to get this man's heart. Because this man, he knows about the Lord, but he doesn't really know the Lord. He knows about him. I don't know if he used to have a relationship, but what I'm seeing in the spirit, I'm telling you guys, folks, y'all get what I'm talking about right now in the concrete. It's going to happen. And it's going to be a blessing to you. And the thing is, you're going to be a testimony into his life of what God does. Right? Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody give the Lord a praise. It was worth all of that. It was worth all of that. It was worth all of that. Amen. Well, I can't think of a better way to end than right there. That's the reason I don't pry into everybody's lives. And that's also a lot of times the reason before service I'm not just asking people questions. I kind of sometimes I got to steal myself away. But I really felt like God was going to speak tonight. That prophecy for her ought to release faith for everybody else in the room. If you're believing God for something, you need to receive it. God's not a respecter of her. God's not in here saying, I'm just going to bless her. That's not how it works. That ought to flow everywhere to everybody, right? Amen. Everybody say this out loud. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Not cursed.
Not cursed.
I'm the head.
I'm the head.
I'm not the tail.
I'm going up.
I'm not going under.
In Jesus' name.
Amen and amen. Well, come on, let's give the Lord praise. All right, get out of here. Stand up. I love you. Go have a great week. Listen, Sunday morning, 9 and 11. If I was you, I'd get here early. Come ready to worship. Thank you, Keith, for such an amazing job tonight with worship.